We're up to Perek Zayin Pasuk Tes. To remind everyone, we have a guest. I've asked Rabbi Shmelka Pinter to come and speak. I arranged that he'll come at 11:15. So we'll learn regular Navi, then we'll continue with our discussion on Tefillin, and then 11:15, the Yirtzeh Hashem, he'll speak until 12 o'clock. Okay. Let's continue up to Perek Zayin Pasuk Tes. Okay. So we did this. Okay, this is the middle of yesterday. I'm describing the cates, the bar cates, the end is coming near. So Hashem says to Yecheskel, I will show no compassion. Kidrachayich. According to your deeds, I will bring upon you, as we discussed yesterday, it's going to be midah kineged midah. Your abominations will be within you. Vidatem, when this happens, you'll know ki Hashem makeh, it is I Hashem who is bringing about this wound, and it is I Hashem who is hitting you. Let's see the mitzudos tavid ki rechayach kigmul derechayach. Your punishment will be according to your deeds. Mida kineged mida b'soev asayach your abominations tashlumei toev asayach yaviu b'soecheich. The mitzudos adds, notice he adds two words into the pasuk. Kigmul derachayich. And when it comes to b'soev asayach, it means tashlumei toev asayach. He's padding the pasuk with these two extra words to make it clear that Hashem is punishing according to the sins that were done. Vidatem oz teduk v'tavinu asherni Hashem hamakeh ha'bigmul ha'avoyin. It is I Hashem that is bringing punishment as punishment v'loy ba b'mikra, and that is the big nisayon of life, to believe with emunah pshuta that nothing happens by coincidence. Everything that happens in our Kadosh Baruch Hu is either a reward, a punishment, or it's part of the master plan. Let's see Rashi pasuk yud hinei. There is no Rashi. Let's see the Radak pasuk tes v'lesocho seina. It's a pasuk amal lemalo v'shono isocha heina im shiri ma'at. This pasuk is almost identical to what it said back in pasuk dalit. Lemalo amar ki derachayich uveze amar ki derachayich b'chof hashimush v'hu inyinecha. There's really no difference. Ulemalo ki ani Hashem. And in this pasuk it says v'hoisef b'ze v'yomar ki ani Hashem makeh. And this pasuk adds the detail that it is I Hashem who is hitting you, who is causing you pain. I'm sure there must be some. Obviously, there's no such thing as repetition in Tanakh. Obviously, it's referring to something very, very deep, which unfortunately I did not come across in my very limited preparation. Okay, let's go to pasuk yud. Pasuk yud. What? It's okay. Pasuk yud. Pasuk yud. We continue. Hinei hayoyim. Hine va'a. Okay, this is a poetic expression. Behold the day. Behold, hine va'a. It has va'a. It is here. Again, we note that the ta'ameh ha'nikra is under the aleph, which indicates that this is in the present tense. Yatza'a hatsefira. The same thing we discussed yesterday. The dawn has left us. The dawn has, well, so yatza has gone forth. The yatza hatsefira. The dawn has gone forth, okay. Which we'll see. It doesn't say over here, like we said before, bo hatsefira. Okay, we learned last time bo hatsefira, which it's in the past tense.
Right.
Here, it's clearly in the present tense.
Yotz, it's coming.
It's coming. So here, it's a little in the future tense. Because we'll see in the mafarshim in one moment. And this notice we said sefira. We have to remind ourselves that yesterday we mentioned in many perushim as to the precise meaning of the word sefira. Either it means the dawn, which refers to hope, or it refers to divine retribution. Sivuv, it's sefira. Literally, is a crown, and the prominent characteristic of a crown is the fact that it is round, which alludes to the idea that there's something, a gilgul hasoivev ba'olam. There is retribution, or there were, in this case, Rashi said it's misavev. Hashem causes things to occur. So here it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into motion the events that will lead to the churban of Yerushalayim. by inspiring, arousing the Nebuchadnezzar to come down from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. And the third interpretation, we learn Bohat Sefirah, it literally means the crown. And it refers to the crown, the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar. They have arrived. They are standing at the front door. They are waiting and they are ready to conquer the land. So here, we are taking those three interpretations. We have to keep in mind what it means over here when it says Yotze'ohat Sefirah, when it says here that the dawn has gone forth. Okay, so we'll come to that one in a moment. And now we come to another poetic expression. This probably reminds us more of what it says in Parashas Behaloscha. This is all the graduation speeches. This Parashas Behaloscha is always the, almost all the shlach, is the parasha of June, when all the graduations occur, and everyone talks about the Matei Aron, Vayotze Tzitz, Vayetze Ferach, Vayotze Tzitz, Vayigmol Shkedim. Okay, the blossoming of the staff of Aaron. And here, notice again, it says, Tzotz HaMateh, the Mateh has blossomed. Porach, the flowers of Hazadon have come forth. Again, I want to repeat the idea we said yesterday very quickly. Notice almost all of the expressions that we're finding over here are used other places in Tanakh for the good, for bracha, like the Kates Hayomin, like the dancing, the clapping of the hands, the stamping with the feet, the shouting of sound. We had other examples. I don't remember all the other examples. The Tzefira, okay, the Tzefira is a crown that represents Malchus. Represents happiness. It's the one of the Haftaris we read not that long ago about the crown, wearing the crown. All of these words, they trigger happy thoughts in the mind of a person when things are going well. And here, where the Navi is specifically taking these words that would normally conjure in one's mind happiness and is being used for examples of sadness. And that, in fact, is the worst type of sadness. What's one thing when a person does not know better? When Rachmana Litzlan, a person has to go through a difficult time. Okay, so you have to go through, you don't have a choice. But when the person in his mind is thinking that this moment was meant to be something happy, or the objects that I'm using to celebrate were once upon a time used for good things, or were meant to be used for good things, and now, due to my sins, they have been transformed, they have to be used for things which cause tsar, the pain is infinitely greater, because you're looking, look what I lost. I'll give you an example. Last week's parasha, Barad. Barad, Chazal tell us, the pasuk says that I'm going to send against you as kol magei fosai, all of my makos. Rashi says, from here we learn that the mak of Barad was shokol kineged kol hamakos. And the truth is, it's not so clear what that means, because there are different girsos. The question of Rashi's girs is the mak of Makas Bechoyrois is Shokol Kineged Kol HaMakos. And when Moshe was talking to Paro and spoke about Barah, he also was speaking about Makas Bechoyrois. Or does Rashi, the correct years in Rashi, that Rashi is saying no, that the Mak of Barah indeed is Shokol Kineged Kol HaMakos. Okay, that's a discussion in and of itself. But be that as it may, let's assume now that indeed Makas Barah was Shokol Kineged Kol HaMakos. Why? What was so special about Makas Bechoros? So you can probably find it in the Farshim, at least 10 Barak. Why is Makas Barad? Why is it unique? It's not the 10th Maka. It's I think, the 6th, what is it, the 6th Maka?
No,
7th Maka? I think Arbe is the 7th. No,
Arbe is the 8th.
8th, Arbe is the 8th. Okay, so it's the 7th Maka. So it's the 7th Maka. So what is so special about Barad? There are three more to go. Arbe, Choyshech, Makas Bechoros. So if you look at the Mefarshim, you'll find many, many reasons. The reason that sticks out of my mind is that, and I think it relates to the idea that we're having here so many times in these last psukim, is the idea that Barad was accompanied with rain. The pasuk makes it very clear. Vayamter Elohim Barad b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem rained down Barad in the land of Egypt. And if you look in the Midrashim, it doesn't just mean that it was Barad. The Barad was accompanied by rain. Well, we know that when there's hail, it's not only hail. There's snow, there's rain, and with the rain, with the snow and the rain, but also there's a mix, a wintry mix. Throw in, Hashem throws in some borot. In Mitzrayim, it never, ever rained. Rashi, in fact, in the beginning of Parshas Vo'era, he makes that point, he mentions that. In Mitzrayim, when Paro, in Egypt, they worshipped the Nile. They're dependent upon the Nile. It's a society where they irrigate the fields. It's back-breaking slave labor to take buckets of water from the irrigation canals and bring it to the fields and to pour the water on the produce, on the soil. It never, ever rained. Did not exist such a thing. One of the milos of Eretz Yisrael is you don't have to break your back to make a parnasa. It rains. There's a sprinkler system. Hashem turns on the water. The water comes down. The plants grow. You don't have to do nothing. You just come there to reap the benefits. Zehu. On the other hand,
there's a catch.
The catch is it's only going to rain if you are mispala. In Egypt, you don't have to pray. All you have to do is go to work. Go to work. You draw the water from the irrigation canal and you pour the water on the fields and you're guaranteed to have parnasa. So in Egypt, there's no such thing as religion because no one needs God. Man's destiny, man's success depends upon his work ethic. But on the other hand, you got to break your back. You have to literally break your back and work hard in order to make a parnasa. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to work. Everything is free. But the price, the hidden price you have to pay is you have to acknowledge that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. Pasuk says this clearly in Parashas Ekev, that you're coming, Hashem, Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, Hashem is taking you into Eretz Yisrael. It's a land where it rains. It's not like Egypt where there's the Nile and there's irrigation canals. No, that's not the way it is in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, there is rain. Now, in Egypt, they probably imagined, they probably heard about such a thing called rain. And they probably were pining away their entire life, their lives. If only it can rain in Egypt, if only we can invent a technology where we can send up some planes into the sky and cause there to be clouds and allow it to rain, and that way we don't have to break our backs to sustain ourselves. So it was something that they yearned for. It was like a fantasy in their minds. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfilled their fantasies. It rained. With the barat, with the hail, Vayamter Elohim barad al Eretz Mitzrayim. It rained. When it rained, the Egyptians got a taste. It was a bittersweet experience. On the one hand, they were being wiped out. The barad was fire, it was ice, it was punishment. But they also got a taste of what it means that if you do the will of Hashem, there's something called rain. You don't have to work. Hashem blesses you by sending down from heaven water to water your fields. When Paro told, you have to look at the Sukkim, the exact words of Sukkim, it's very meduyik. When Paro said to Moshe, I want you to be a mispala that it should stop, he said, I only want the borah to stop. I don't want the rain to stop. Let it keep on raining. The bracha of rain is such a beautiful bracha. We don't want that to stop. But that was not to be. Hashem says the rain stopped. You have to look in the psukim and see how all these things are meduyik in the pasuk with the rain. This, it was a tease. When you show someone, look what you could have had. If only you did not do an avera, look at the bracha you could have had. This was meant to be for you. But because you're a bad boy, you're not getting it. Because you've sinned, I'm taking it away from you. That is the ultimate torture. It's one thing to have dam, tzardeya, kinim, orov, dever, shchin. Are we leaving out? What's dever, right? No, that's the next one. It's one thing. Those were all punishments. They were pure punishments. So I'm being punished. Okay, so I have to suffer. But the ultimate punishment borrowed was shakel kineged kol hamakos, because in the punishment HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the people, look what you could have had you been deserving. My people, Klal Yisrael, I'm taking them into Eretz Yisrael where it's going to rain. You're not going to have that. Let me tease you. Let me show you what you could have had. That is the ultimate tsar that a person, the ultimate form of punishment. So that's really what Yechezkel here is doing here in these sukkim as well. He's taking these words, he's taking these concepts, which are used elsewhere in Tanakh, as things which remind us of the good old days, the glorious days of happiness and simcha nachas, and Hashem is saying to us, sorry, you don't deserve it. And instead of not having what you really should have had, I'm going to use these same concepts, these same terms, these same objects, as a form of punishment. You want there to be Mashiach, you're looking for Mashiach, the Ketz HaYomin, so you know what? Bo HaKetz, all the different expressions, the case we had it six times, Ato HaKetz, Bo HaKetz. Instead, we're using these words, which are meant to be good things, they're going to turn into things of Tsar. The Tzefira, the crown, Malchus, instead of being used in a positive sense, it's going to be used in a negative sense. Here as well, we have the Mate. It's impossible to read this passage without thinking about the Mate Arlon. It used to be in the good old days we had a Beis HaMikdash. They still have the Beis HaMikdash in these days. And there was Kohanim, there were Levim, there was Aaron HaKohen, and Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, Vayetze Perach, Vayotze Tzitz, Vayigmol Shkedim. Aaron was a respected leader in Klal Yisrael. But because you have betrayed Aaron, you have betrayed the Kohuna, so you know what? Now I'm going to take those same exact words and use it as a reminder of your destruction. The Mate of Nebuchadnezzar has blossomed. The flowers of sin have blossomed, and they are now going to come upon you to destroy you. Let's see Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzvah. Yud Aleph is Achamas. Nebuchadnezzar ish chamas kam liyos mat. Nebuchadnezzar, a man of violence, has risen up. Lios mat mate hamake beresha beachzorius rav. He will be a mate, a staff that will hit, that will smite and cause with enormous cruelty. I read the wrong pasuk. I'm sorry. Pasuk. This is pasuk yud. It's not yud. Pasuk yud. Hine hayom. Hine karva hayom. Hine ba. The day is near. The day has arrived. Yotso hatzefira. Yotzo hashachar miyoyim hora'ah. Dawn has arrived. So obviously this pasuk is, according to the Mitzudos, is very different than the previous. Well, I think the Mitzudos was consistent. The Mitzudos, we go back to pasuk Zayin, bo alecha boker shal yoyim ra. The Mitzudos is consistent. Because the Mitzudos, obviously, he had the Tamei HaMikra, the Darga, not under the Beis, but under the Aleph. You go back to pasuk Zayin, it says, Bo Hatzefira, Elecha Yeshevar. So Rashi says that if the Tamei HaMikra is under the base, that means it's the past tense. So we translate the pasuk to mean that your dawn is gone. It's all over. Obviously, the Mitzudos, his Mesara, is that the Darga is beneath the Aleph, which is the present tense, which means the dawn has arrived. What does it mean, the dawn has arrived? The day has come. It's equivalent to saying that what it says here in this pasuk, Hine hayoim, hine va'a. The day has arrived. The morning, the dawn, there's a crack of dawn. The dawn is here. And now, Nebuchadnezzar is at the footsteps, is at the front door of Eretz Yisrael. Yatza hatzefira, yatza hashachar, the dawn has arrived. Miyoim hara'a, the day of evil. Tzotz hamata. Hamata huchan lehakois bohem hoitzi tzitz, the mata that has been designated to bring forth punishment has blossomed, which is an expression v'hu korov lasos peri. It's near, it's to producing fruit. Via pri hamata hu hakobo, the pri hamata is a symbol for punishment. The al hakastim yi omar, this is a reference to the kastim, the Babylonians. V'chenema ba'ashur u'matehu biyodom zami, and the nation of Ashur, going back 200 years, time of Yeshaya, is a staff in my hands of my anger. Parach
hazadoin. Maybe the blossoms represent the repercussions of
Chorben. Invasion. Okay, the repercussions. Eino chanami. Parach hazadoin, Nebuchadnezzar, ish zadon, kvar parach, Nebuchadnezzar, the man of zadon. So he translates the word zadon, is not a reference that I translate as your sins. Your sins have blossomed. You know, it means it's a noun. It means the Nebuchadnezzar is the man of zadon. He has blossomed. Kvar parach, umiher, Ye osse pri hazadon v'hu kilyon v'ivadon very soon will he bring upon you destruction. HaChomos, Nebuchadnezzar, that's the next pasuk. Let's see, Rashi pasuk Yud, the evil has come, Yotza Tzefiro, Ola HaShachar, Shal Yom Hara. Everyone here is forced to learn that the Tzefir, the dawn over here, means the day has arrived. The mat has blossomed. He has been revealed. Nebuchadnezzar Harosha has revealed himself that what his plans are. Pasuk, let's see, Radak Pasuk Yud. A new interpretation. So far, according to Rashi and the Mitzvahs, the matter refers to an object of destruction, an object that's used to bring punishment. That's not what the Radak says. The matter means justice. Inyin, it refers to hatoyas hadin, the turning, the deciding of judgment. V'hushem, v'yorelo perach ha-zadon, and the proof is the next expression, the flower of zadon, kolemar, ma'asim ro'im, that's how I translated the pasuk originally, the zadon does not refer to Nebuchadnezzar and ish zadon, but zadon means the sins of the Jewish people. The sins of the Jewish people have blossomed to a point, have developed, have matured to a point where Hashem says, I can no longer ignore them, and therefore there are consequences, there must be din, and the din is you're going to be punished. They have blossomed and they have sprouted. I will no longer ignore them. I will bring punishment. Some will learn it like Mitsudos and Rashi, that the word Zadon and the word sits, the mate, refers to Nebuchadnezzar, Kore mate, he's the mate. Kemo hoy ashur sheverapi mate hu v'yodom zamil, exactly what Rashi said. V'zeh shamar me'inyin yoytze ha-tzefira, and that's what it means when the pasuk says that the tzefira, the crown, has gone forth. Nebuchadnezzar gam kein kore zadon, so according to interpretation, we're going to learn that Nebuchadnezzar, he's called the tzefira. He's the king. He is the Malchus. If he is the crown of Malchus has come forth to bring punishment. The leader, which is the Mata. The Mata means the staff, which means the Malchus. What?
The instrument
of punishment, which is Nebuchadnezzar. Hoifar Rishia, he has appeared. The wicked one has appeared. So Sach HaKol, we have here two different interpretations of this Pasuk, Pasuk Gid Aleph. Either we're referring to Nebuchadnezzar, who is destroyed with the word Tzefira, Mate, and Zadon. He has three different terms. It's a very interesting idea. Nebuchadnezzar is called three different things in this pasuk. He is the crown, he is the Mate, and he is the Zadon. I guess in a much deeper level, I have no idea what this means, but when you look at an evil empire, there are different dimensions to their wickedness. There's a complexity to their wickedness. If you want to go talk in modern times, so you talk about Hitler, yimach shemo. You want to talk about Saddam Hussein. You want to go talk about Assad. You want to talk about people who are known to be cruel. Define their wickedness. Elaborate. What exactly makes them wicked? If you have three people in a room and ask them to define their wickedness, you're sure to get at least four opinions why, what exactly is unique about their approach to torturing their people. And that's exactly what the Pasuk here is doing here. On the one hand, we call Nebuchadnezzar a Tzefira, we're calling him a Mateh, and we're calling him Zadon. I don't know the difference, I don't know the deeper meaning, but obviously there's something very deep going on in defining the exact nature of their cruelty towards society. And then you have the other interpretation of Mitsudos and Rashi. It's much more simplistic. The Radak, the other interpretation, that we're referring to the sins of the Jewish people. The Mateh, at least, I think he really learns both. The Mateh and the Zadon, the Mateh is Mishpat. It means, let's review. The Zadon means our sins. Our sins have blossomed. Hashem can no longer ignore them. And therefore, Tzotz HaMate, Hashem's Mishpat, in Shemayim, Mate is, Hashem is tilting the scales of judgment against us to bring upon us punishment. and therefore Yotza Hatzefira, the day of judgment has arrived. The dawn of the judgment has arrived, which is repeated in the beginning of the pasuk, Hinei Hayayim, Hinei Va'ah, Yotza Hatzefira. I guess so. There's also, you learn like that, you're talking about the day of Rosh Hashanah. How do you define Rosh Hashanah? According to the Radak's interpretation, there are three ways to describe the day has arrived. You can say, the day is here, Hinei Hayayim, or you just can say, Hinei Va'ah, it has arrived. Or you can say, the dawn has arrived. When you describe, when you're looking forward towards an event, an event that has great meaning to you, it's interesting that according to the Radak's interpretation, the pasuk is describing in three different terms. And obviously, each one has its own connotation. Either it's the day, or the fact that it's just here, or you define the earliest moment in the day. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk, Yud Aleph. Hechomos kom lemate resha. Violence has risen up in the form of a staff of cruelty. Now that's one translation, which obviously depends upon everything we've read until now, which we'll see again in the Rashi and the Radak and the Mitzudos. And then we have over here another very complex expression, which Baruch Hashem we have a Medrash. Okay, I love it. We have the Midrashim, and we'll see in a moment what this means. But at least a simple translation is Lo Mehem. There is none to be found among them. And what does that mean? Okay, hold off for one moment. V'loy meha moinam, not amongst their multitude, v'loy mehem mehem, and not among their offspring. V'loy noya mehem, another word, a fourth word, and there's no one there who, what's noah? Noah, I don't know what it means. It means yearning. That's the simple translation. Or, I take it back, look at the Mitzudos Tzion. Noah miloshem lihi vilala. No one is crying.
Longing.
No one, okay, they say that's longing, nihi vilala. Lala means really mourning, crying. Yalala, wailing.
Nihi.
Nihi, wailing. Okay, let's see. There is a lot going on in this pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph first in the Mitzudos David, the Chamas. Since slow. Who is the Chamas? According to the Mitzudos David, it's Zadon. His being is consistent. Just like in the previous pasuk, we described the Nebuchadnezzar with three terms. Sefirah. The crown of Malchus. We described him with the term Mate. We described the Nebuchadnezzar with the term Zadon. Now we are describing him with the fourth term, the term of violence. Hechamos, Nebuchadnezzar ish Hamas, kam liyos Mate, he has risen up to be a Mate Make Beresha, that's going to hit with wickedness. What do you mean? Biachzorios Rav, with extreme cruelty. Next, okay, next, the next part of the pasuk, according to Mitzvus Lomehem, return to Lomar. Ein hakilyon ba minitzachon hakastim. So here Hashem says, make no mistake about it. When Nebuchadnezzar succeeds in punishing the Jewish people, it's not him that's doing it. He's nothing more than an instrument in Hashem's hands. Ein hakilyon ba, the destruction is not coming minitzachon hakastim, not due to the success of the Babylonians. It's not because they're coming, they're ascending with millions of soldiers. 500,000. Remember when we were in the Iraq war? You heard the argument. How many soldiers are the United States going to send in? 500,000, 300,000, 200,000, 1 million, 800,000, all these numbers. It's not because the success, it's not because the numbers. V'loy meha mo yosam. Nada, he's translating, not because their shouts. It's not because there's superiority in warfare. They know how to scream, how to confuse, how to jam all of the radar signals. Sh'oin, the mehamoyash b'kol sh'oin, their loud shouts, hamafilu mafchid, that frighten and terrify. Kiloi b'koyach zirayom osu mashos. So it's not due to their power that they are successful. Rather, Ki im yad Hashem osiso kol zos. Hashem is the one that brings success. It is Hashem. V'loy nom him. And the last part of the pasuk is return to Lamar. Ein roi sheyin hanihi v'yalola ba'avuram. Now this is very controversial what he says here. The reason why I say very controversial is because I know big Talmud Chacham, he got into a lot of trouble because he says something like this about someone else. And people were not, you'll see what I mean in one moment. I'm talking in circles. V'ein roi sheyin anehi v'ayilola be'avuram ki lo'osu b'roya b'chirasam u v'oitzem yadam. It's not them. they're not, they were following orders. Isn't that a very controversial thing in the Nazi trials? Eichmann, I have a study read about Eichmann. That was the most celebrated case before my time. I read some of the stories. Mm-hmm. So what is the common argument? That the common defense is following orders. Mm-hmm. What do you want from me? You would have done the same. Following orders. Well, what do you? So the Mitzudas David, shockingly, is saying exactly that. Okay, this is very controversial what he says. Here Nebuchadnezzar and his soldiers and all of his lackeys, they brought achzori osraf. Okay, the Mitzudas doesn't mince words. Extreme cruelty. And according to the Mitzudas, the pasuk is saying, don't v'loy noah bohem. Don't complain about them. It's not their fault. Don't mourn and scream, oh, look what they did to us. Let's blame them. Let's punish them. Let's search them out. Hashem did this to you. It's Hashem who brought this upon you. And they were just the tools, the instruments of Hashem's hand. That's a very dangerous statement. Don't you think that's a very... If I would say something like that, you know, they'll put me away somewhere to say something like that. Yeah. Justice must be served. And in addition to justice being served, you also have to have a religious perspective exactly what happened. Yeah?
Something similar at the Yom Tov, different punishments
for the different soldiers, for the different...
Yeah, depending on their
attitude. The degree of complicity...
If they were just following orders... And so on.
But they were all punished, they all died.
That's right.
They all died. But over here, it's really a very, very, very frightening translation of a pasuk. Yeah.
Sometimes they did more than they were supposed to.
But look, let's translate the pasuk according to the parish of Mitzvah Stavit. Hechamas kam lemate resha. Nebuchadnezzar, who is the man of Hamas, the man of violence, he has risen up to be an instrument, to be a tool, to be a mater, a staff in the hand of Hashem of resha, of cruelty. This Mitzudas is translating the word resha as cruelty. And Hashem says now, Hashem now addresses Klal Yisrael, don't blame them. Loi mehem. Don't blame the kastim, the nation. The loi mehamoina. Don't attribute their success to their large numbers. V'loy mehem mehem. Don't attribute their success to their superiority in warfare, in having better weapons, better, more ammunition, better strategy. No. It's not them. It's me, Hashem says. V'loy noah bohem. Don't mourn. Don't complain. Noah over here, according to the Mitzvah, this really means complain. Don't complain about them. They were forced. They were drafted to do this job, to do this mission against their will. You have a complaint? Take it up with me. And I'll tell you, you know why it happened to you? Because of your sins. You deserve it. Put the focus on, put everything in the right perspective. Okay, now that's the Mitzudos. Not, don't get carried away. Not everyone agrees to that interpretation. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasig Yud Aleph says, Hechamos kam, Hechamos asher biyetchem. We're not discussing the Nebuchadnezzar. We're discussing the Jewish people. You have no one to blame for this but yourself. Your acts of violence, your sins, your terrible sins of Hamas, asher biyetchem, your corruption, hu kam aleichem, has now come home. What's the expression?
To roost.
Chicken. What's the whole expression?
To roost.
The chicken comes home to roost. Come aleichem lamate resha lishacheschem, to destroy you. It's going to be, you know, it's going to boomerang against you, like we said. Loi mehem. Here he learns. Ka chamar kadosh baruch hu lamashkes. Einecha zokuk. Hashem is now not speaking to Klal Yisrael. Hashem is speaking to his agents of destruction, the Mashkas, whether it's the Malach Mashkas, whether it's the Nebuchadnezzar and his army. He's saying, I want you to finish them off. Leave no survivors. No survivors. Ein chazakuk, you're not required lehashir nefesh, me rishay Yisrael. It's a euphemism from the Jewish people. Ki ein toiva yotzeis because no good will come from these people. Loi mehem, v'loi mibineihem, v'loi mehamoinam. Hashem says to the Mashkis, don't leave over any survivors. Not from them, not from their descendants, and not from their multitudes. V'loi noa bohem, ein bohem noa acharai, meaning, you know why? And now Hashem explains, because no one cares about me. Among Klal Yisrael, no one's interested in that me. So therefore, you might as well just finish them all off, Rahman Laslan. Achar megageya v'noisein lev elai kamo. Where do we find the word? Vayinohu kol beis Yisrael achar Hashem. They turned. They were inspired. They were. It's a, I don't know a good word to translate. I don't have such a good vocabulary. They were. They were inspired to follow after Hashem. Uloshen arami. This word Noah is loshen arami. The isni ihu lipul chana. They were inspired to serve Hashem. Lashon ta'ava, a desire. V'ga'aguin, a yearning. U'menachem chibru, lashon yilala. Then he goes to Menachem, he says, lashon yilala. V'chein v'yoni'u kol beis Yisrael, perush lashon yilala. V'ein b'teva rak he'a yisod. So he's not explaining, well, I don't know, I really don't know what he means of it with Menachem. Menachem is telling us he means to, there's no yilala. Ein yilala. And how does that fit into the perush of the pasuk? It doesn't fit in, not like the mitsudos, because according to him, it means the complaint is not against them, and it doesn't fit in according to Rashi, because over here, Yilol, according to him, means there's no one cares about me. No one in the Jewish people cares about me. So I don't know. Rashi appears to be leaving us. He's not following through how Menachem would translate the pasuk in its entirety. Because if you translate the word Noah Mohem means there's no one that's mourning, how does that follow from Rashi's translation of the pasuk in the words immediately before where Hashem says to the Mashchis, leave no survivors. V'loi Noah Bohem. Okay, maybe I'm thinking now. Maybe it means is leave no survivors that should mourn. I guess if there were to be survivors, the survivors would mourn, would cry over those who have died. But if there are no survivors, there's no one to mourn. There's no one left. Okay, so let's take a step back and let's review according to Rashi, a very, very, very different translation of the pasuk. The pasuk here is describing Klal Yisrael and is telling Klal Yisrael, in the pasuk, you're now going to get what you deserved. Hechamos, your violence, you Klal Yisrael, your sins, Kom Lemate Resha has matured, has developed, has taken on a life of its own, and now is coming home to roost. You're going to bring upon yourself your own korban. Period. Put a hard break at that point in that place in the pasuk. Now Hashem directs his attention to the Malach HaMashchis. Go forward, destroy, and leave no survivors. Lo mehem, v'lo mehamonam. Rashi translates hamonam, their children. V'lo mehem. It means their multitudes. Not like what the Mitzudos told us, that it means their sound, their koyacha, their ability to confuse the enemy. Their multitude, period. V'loi no, why? Now Hashem is telling the Malach HaMashchis, let me give you a psychological reason why you should not feel guilty when you carry out your mission. V'loi noah bohem. Because there's no one here among the Jewish people that could care less about me. No one pays attention to me. So therefore, this is what you have to do. Now, I don't know what goes on in West Point. Okay, we have to get some expert in warfare. When they train soldiers, do they tell soldiers the reason for the mission? Do they give them psychological encouragement? We're sending you off on a mission. We're telling you to wipe out an entire civilization, entire family, whatever the story is. Do they tell soldiers the reason? Because these people are morally corrupt. These people are responsible for the killing. They're a danger to society. Do they actually? And therefore, you should not feel guilty. You should. When you go and you wipe out, you go and you kill the enemy, have no rachmanis. If you know the reason, so maybe the soldiers will have more of a drive we more committed to carry out the mission with perfection.
Maybe just the opposite.
Oh, maybe. Oh. Once they start thinking, once already they know the reason, once they know the reason. Listen, that's a Republican approach to society. I'm a Democrat. I don't agree.
There's a saying in the army, privates are not paid to think.
Oh, very good.
What is that?
Privates are not paid.
So you're saying that the foot soldiers, I'm just throwing this out. Over here, according to Rashi, we have here three words. Vilo Noah Bohem. Over here, Hashem is giving an explanation to his Navy SEAL team. Okay, there's a Navy SEAL team here going out on a mission. And Hashem is telling them, I'm giving you the reason. I'm giving you the reason for the mission. The Jewish people are they don't pay any attention. They have no regard to me. Therefore, they deserve. Don't you agree? Of course. So they'll go and they'll accomplish the mission. Let me ask you, do they tell the Navy SEALs the reason? Or they just tell them, you have no choice. This is what you're trained to do.
I think they would tell them.
They do tell them?
I would think so.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I only know what I read, but
okay, you know, you hear this in the Israeli army. Okay, let's talk about the Israeli army when they tell them to go and to evict settlers and the soldiers are torn. Right? We're talking about Gaza. Should we obey the orders? Should we not obey the orders? What do our rabbanim say? What do our rabbanim say? Our rabbanim agree, not agree? Do they tell us to disobey the orders? You're a soldier. Don't think. Like, exactly. It's none of your business. It's not the role. This is your mission. You have no choice. You're not the one that's making the decision. You're just here to carry out the decision. It's interesting that according to Rashi here, we see that Hashem is telling the agents the reason, the logic behind the mission. Seemingly as a form of encouragement that it should be carried out with alacrity. Let's see the Radak. Radak Pasik Yud Aleph. Hachamas, obviously every situation is different, right? You can't generalize. Every situation is different, but
I think it depends on the culture.
It depends on the situation. Depends on the culture situation.
You're going to talk about the Babylonians, or you're going to talk about the Germans. You know, that's one thing, you know, to make automatons out of them. But I don't think that in the U.S. or Israel,
there's always another side to the story. Every situation will always have another side, no matter what. And if you're telling people what the reason is, you know, so that then you're getting yourself into trouble. Let's see what the other pasuk is based. Pasuk is based in the Mitsudos, David. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Radak. Pasuk after Radak. Chomash from Materesha. Chomash Asuk. Ash Asuk come from Materesha. Shemake Oisam. The Yonis and Tergeim Chatoifin Kamu Lemisar Rishu. Chatoifin means their act of wickedness. Kamu has risen up l'misar rashiah, to a staff of wickedness. So according to Radak, Radak appears to be learning the pshat and the pasuk identical to Rashi, that we're describing the sins of the Jewish people have now, if they're coming home to roost. Lo mehem, Rashi again is similar to what it says in Rashi, lo yishar echad mehem shlo yigle oyamos. There will be no survivors. Either they will die or they will go into exile. V'lo mei hamoinam, v'lo mei ribu momon shalohem. Their money. We have now here a new interpretation. No one has told us yet. He translates mei hamoinam, not their children like Rashi,
right.
Not like the Mitsudo Stava that says their multitudes, but it means their money. They won't be able to pay ransom their souls. V'lo mei ribu momon shalohem. Kamo mehamoin rishaim umiohev behamon. A person loves money, sheperushan roiv mamon, which means that their money will be wiped out as well. Not only will they die.
Buy them out of the situation.
Well, then the doctor says it means their assets. They'll be lost. People lost everything. People in the Holocaust, all of their wealth was gone. Puff of smoke. People who worked their whole life. V'loy mehamoin. What is v'loy mehem? The third word. Kamo mehem. None of them. The kafal boy hamem v'ha'hei kilu amar shnei pamim mehem rutzel loy mar. It's like mehem mehem yirak oy adamdam rutzel loy mar mishum dover mehem lo yishar rutzel loy mar b'nehem u'b'nei b'nehem, not from them, not from their children, their grandchildren, oyiyah mehem mehem min hema, rotzolaymar, davar sha'adam choymeh la v'heim ha'bonim. The same idea, something which a person yearns for. Nothing will be left from them here, according to the Radax, means their children will not survive, either because it means mehem, mehem, or what they yearn for, it's the same thing, their children will not survive. So according to the Radak,
he sees it as a wordplay.
A wordplay, mehem, mehem, or muhum, or he says it means the word of desire. So according to the Radak, we have now a new translation, nothing will remain from them, not from their assets, and not from their children. Next, v'loy nihi bohem, v'loy yen nihi v'lol bohem. Now here I have a new interpretation, it's maybe really what the Targum said in Rashi, we have this theme in the Kinois, in Eicha, is that they will be so distraught, they won't have the presence of mind to mourn. Mourning, to some degree, is a blessing. A person has the presence of mind where he can mourn, it means his life is in order. He has suffered tragedy, and now he has the ability to deal with the tragedy. As a therapist, he has a psychologist, he has a psychiatrist, okay, there's a mahalach. But when society has broken down to the point where there's no mourning, that means that tsara is even greater. So that's the curse. Meroiv ha-tsaras lo yivko ha-chayim al ha-mesim kamo shama Yirmiyahu lo yisoftu v'lo yikoveru v'yonesim tegim v'lo yimeihem mehem v'lo yinoya mehem lo yim bibineihon v'lo yim bibineihon, the same idea. He's coming to support his idea that when it says mehem mehem, it means not from them, not from their children. Okay, so we have over here, assumes the Radak, pretty much the Radak is learning more or less like Rashi. We're not going to review. We have basically two very, very different translations of this pasuk, Pshuta Shel Mikra, Radak and Rashi. Obviously, each one has a lot of depth in what's going on. Now, there is one interesting medrash, and the medrash focuses on the word v'loy noya bohem. Hey and a ches sometimes can be interchanged, because the only difference between a hey and a ches is a teeny little opening. So when you change hey for ches, what does it say? Noach. Where is Noach? Noach is not amongst them. And what do I mean? So that means simply is that the Noach motza chein de'enei Hashem. When Hashem wanted to destroy the world, there's always a good guy. Right? It has to be a movie, right? You have to be able to make a movie. You have to have at least one good guy, someone to come forward, right, to be some good guy. So indeed, v'noyach motza ki oischo reisi tzadik lefonai ba'dor hazeh. But rachmona litzlan, so Noach is like a code word for at least this one tzadik, and that tzadik will survive and carry over the legacy of the Beis Hamikdash to the next generation. Rachmona Litzlan, Hashem is saying that when the Bayis Rishon is going to be destroyed, there's no one. There's not even one good man. One good man I can look at and I can say, oh, you know, at least in the zuchus of this good person, I'll save society. Or at least I'll save him. So he will carry over to the next generation the legacy of what used to be. He'll preserve. Hashem says to the Mashchis, destroy them. Don't leave off any survivors. You know why? There's not even one good man.
But there were survivors.
Look, Yirmiyah survived, Yechezkel survived, Chosha Masker. I guess it means, relatively speaking, the survivors, and in this coin, this marriage, were not significant enough that he should have left out these three words. Hashem is obviously extremely frustrated. So that is one interpretation of the Medrash, but that's not the only interpretation of the Medrash. When it says Noach, let me just turn to the page. Let's see where I can find it. Here it is.
Maybe it means that nobody's to the Madrega of Noach.
No one was on the Madrega of
Noach.
That level. Mahu loy Noach behem ba'oz hei, elo tonet ver b'shmol l'fish ein machshmus, kishu kosov, tidresh kilu hu kosov b'ches. Who nema af al noyach nechtach olav gezar din leonish bedorah hamabul ella shemotzachin beinei Hashem. All right, this is more mesach to Sanhedrin. V'loy noyach. Noyach also did not deserve to be saved. This is a different twist on the medrash. It's not a medrash. I'm sorry, it's not a medrash. It's a marsha. It's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. It has to be there's more on this, but at least he presents over here this Gemara. And he's explaining, he's taking this pasuk and he's interpreting the entire pasuk in reference to the Dor HaMabul. And Hashem is speaking to the Mashkes at the time of Dor HaMabul, this Chomos, Ki Molo Ha'ora Ta'aretz Chomos Mipnehem, that's the key word Chomos, that's the trigger for the Gemara, that the world, it has to be destroyed because the world is filled with Chomos. Hinni Mashkisan Min Ha'aretz, Hashem dispatches his Navy SEAL team to destroy the world and says, destroy them all. Destroy them all. So the Navy SEAL team says, what about Noach? So Hashem says, okay, Noach you can save, but it's not because he deserves to be saved. V'loy Noach, v'loy Noach bohem. Noach does not deserve to be saved amongst them, but I'm going to save him anyway because you asked why. V'noyach motza chein be'enei Hashem. Chein is always something which is you don't deserve. I don't deserve, but a matnas chinam. So we give him two twists on the word of noyach. Either we're discussing the generation of the dar of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Hashem is saying there is no one amongst these people. There's not even a noyach. There's not even a noyach bohem that. And according to the interpretation of the other Mahalach, we've taken the entire positive thing, and we're not interpreting in reference to the dar of Churban, we're interpreting in reference to the dar of Noach. And the Medrash is telling us something very frightening, that Noach did not deserve to be spared. It's only because Motzachin. Okay, here we go, next pasuk, pasuk Yudbeis. Repetition, poetic repetition. Bo'eis. The time has come. Higia hayoim. The day has arrived. Isn't that the same thing we said before in Pasuk Yud? Hine hayoim, hine va'o, yotza'o, hatzafira. Now we have two more to add put in our pocket. Another two expressions. The ace has come and higia hayoim. A different expression. So five different expressions. If you have an event you want to look forward to, here is the address. If you're ever looking forward to a certain day in your life, you could describe it so far. We've learned so far five different ways. Hine hayoyim, hine va, yotzo hatzefira, bo ha'es, higia hayoyim. Five different ways of describing a day that you're looking forward to. What do you say, Trump?
I said the time has come.
Time has come. I thought you said.
We say all the time. Right?
Now, the next expression. Hakoyne al yismach. Here is a new idea. The koine, the one who buys, will not rejoice. V'hamoicher al yisabol, the one who sells will not be in a state of mourning. Ki choroin el kol hamoina, the anger has descended upon the entire population, upon the entire assembly. Meaning that people will not care about business. People are not going to give a hoot if the stock market goes up or goes down. People have a lot bigger things to worry about. When you buy something,
al yisabol sounds positive, though.
He's not going to mourn.
He's not going to mourn, which means he's okay.
But that's not what it means in the pasuk. It means in the pasuk that it means that life has come to an end, because normally when you sell something, the normal thing to do when you sell something is to be upset. But if the world has come to an end, so it's like in the previous pasuk, the living will not mourn over the dead. That means that society has collapsed. It's healthy to be sad when you sell something. The economy needs that. Otherwise, the economy doesn't work. If people are happy to sell, then something is wrong. Then the whole system of buying and selling doesn't work. There has to be the proper emotion, a trigger, why you buy, why you sell. So it says that the buyer is not going to be happy, he bought something, and the seller is not going to care that he's not going to mourn.
That's the economic theory. The one on the edge is the last guy who sold.
Yeah.
Is misabel. Because or else, if he wants to get rid of it, he would give it away for free.
Okay, it's an economic principle that's been built into this bus. If you see that over here. It's healthy for the economy that at least someone out there in the market, when he sells, is upset. And if this is not going to happen, then it basically means the economy has collapsed. Economics right here in this pasuk. Pasuk Yubayz in the Mesukos David. Bo ha'eitz v'tzana lema hinei bo bigmul. Bo means the punishment has arrived. Ki nismala ha'sa'ah. Nismala hasa, the measure is full. Hashem has said, ad kan. Like Netanyahu, right? That red bomb and that line, Remember everyone that learned in the UN? Like when you get to the breaking point, Atka, Nismalo Hasa'o. It's natural for a buyer to celebrate when he purchases something new. Why? Why will he not celebrate? Because he's going into exile. You'll not remain in his hands. Even if he would not have sold, he would anyway lose his assets, his property. No one will remain in this land anymore. Yud Beis in Rashi, Hamacher Al Yisabol, Afal Pisha Derech Hamacher Sodeh Lihios Otseif, to be sad. Al Yisatsov will not be sad, Ki Soifchem Ligalois, the end is going to be, you're going to go Soifchem Liglus, Ligalus. You're going to go into exile. You're based in the Radak. Boha Eitz HaKoyne Al Yismach. Derech Olam Shakoyne Shak Shakoyne. Derech is the Derech Olam Shakoyne Sameach B'miknosoy. Ve HaMoicher Mistabel U'mitztaer. Ki Mitoch Dochako Hu Mocha. The reason why a person sells is because he's forced to sell. V'chein Divrei Rabbi Sinzach L'vrach Adav Asher Hoyi Asher Hoyi B'fi Hu Anoshim Zavanta Konisa. If you have sold, you have acquired. Zavinas, if you have acquired, sold, Ovadit, you have lost. You have lost. So with Zavanta, if you purchase Konisa, Zivinas means if you have sold, then it means Oivadis. Okay, so Zavanta means to purchase. When you buy something, you have acquired something. When you sell something, you've lost something. The Amru, Ki Amoicha Sod of Yeretz Yisrael, Ein Loi Lisabel, you should not mourn. Al Zeh, Ki Afil Lo Yim Kirenu, Ma'at Yamoy Biyodu, even if you would not sell it, big deal. How much longer are you going to remain in the land? Ki B'meheru Yigol Yanichenu, V'chen HaKoyne Ein Loi Mash L'smach, the buyer should not be happy. Ki HaMikne Lo Tamod Biyodu, Ki Ma'at, because even if he buys, it's not going to remain in his hands very long. Ki Charon Yova Mi'iti El Kol Hamoyna, Lehamisam Ul HaGolosam, because a Churban is coming to exile the Jewish people. Pasik Yud Gimel. This elaborates what we just said. The seller El Hamimkar Lo Yashuv. He will never return to his possession. The Od Bachayim Chayosam throughout their entire life, during his life. It's an poetic expression. While he's still alive, Ki Chazoin El Kol Hamayna Lo Yashuv, because there is a vision of prophecy concerning the entire multitude that says Lo Yashuv, that it will not return, the property will not return, the one who sells, so we'll elaborate upon this in one moment. The ish ba'avaynoi chayoso lo yischazaku. Not only that, man, due to his sins, chayoso lo yischazaku, will not be able to have a guarantee that he will remain alive. There's no chazaka on chayim. We normally have a principle in halacha, there is a chezkas chayim. If a person disappears, and then we discover him dead, and the question is, when did he die? Did he die today, or did he die the next day? Because in between these, the question of when he died, let's say he won the lottery, let's say who knows what happened, things could have happened. And there is a halachic nafkamina. If he was alive at this moment in time, then such and such will be the case. And if he died the following day, then a different set of yarshim will get the money. So if we do not know exactly when he died, what is the halacha? We assume he died the very last moment. Why? There's something called a chezkas chayim. A person is alive. A person is alive. There's a chazaka. There's a presumption that if you're alive today, you'll be alive tomorrow. You'll be alive the next day. That is the assumption. Here it says something very frightening, that at the time of Churban, when the world order comes to an end, when society collapses, when the economy collapses, there's no cheskas chayim. There's no guarantees. Just because a person's alive today, it means absolutely nothing. There's no meaning whatsoever in halacha that he'll be alive. Very frightening words. The ish ba'avoino chayoso, but your life lo yischazaku. You can take the Gemara bava kama bava mitzia. But we will catch this on the bava vasha is the chazakus bava vasha, and you can just close the Gemara. There's no chazakus on chayim. Why do to me in sin? And now, let's go see the mitzvah of this pasuk. Give gimel ki amoicher af ki im lo imochar sadeu lo ha yashav el. Now, so it's very important how we translate the pasuk. In pasuk Yigimel, let's explain. He's saying over here to the moicher. He's eating. The mitzvah is eating in a couple of words to the pasuk, which changes the meaning. And it's very important to know this, because when I tell you the medrash on this pasuk, we'll see another farish. It's very, very different. We're going to focus soon on the laws of Yovel. What happens in the laws of Yovel?
Property goes back.
So was there a transaction or not? So here the Mitzvah says, we're not discussing Yovel. Don't confuse me with the facts. Okay? don't get Yovel involved here. Let's discuss. But if you take the pasuk literally, it doesn't make any sense, because you already sold it. A moicha means I sold it. It's sold. So closing, everyone says mazel tov, it's over. So what does it mean? The moicha elamim kol lo yoshuv, of course. If you sell something, of course. If you sell your house, you give someone the keys, of course, you're not going home that tonight to your house. You gave away the keys. So the pasuk doesn't make any sense then. So the Mitzvah explains, it means even if he would not have sold, the prospective moicher, af ki im lo mochar sadeu, there's nothing to be said about if you sold your house. Because even if you did not sell your house, you would not necessarily be able to live there much longer, because Nebuchadnezzar is coming to take you away. So that's how he translates. Now that's a novel translation of the pasuk. That's not what the pasuk says. Right? He's adding a lot of words into the pasuk to make sense of the pasuk. Af ki im lo mochar sadeu. Lo ha yeshav al sadeh hazeh shemochar l'chachzik ba. Even though you're alive, lo yashuv elav. Even if you would have been alive, even if you survive the war and you go into Golus, they're not letting you come back home. Lo yashuv elav af bezulas hamechira. Even if you would not have made the transaction and you remain alive, anyway, your possessions, your home, your property will be taken away from you. Ki chazoin. When this vision was revealed concerning the entire nation, lo hayimisha shav laHashem. So here he's saying something. He's giving a very interesting interpretation of this pasuk, because when Yechezkel said these words to the Jewish people, no one paid any attention. No one took Yechezkel seriously. Every man was tied up in his own sins. They refused to loosen, to distance themselves from sin. They are not going to be able, they're not going to be able to return to the land, because since the people are there, they're continuing to do averos. Hashem is not going to bring the geula. Hashem is going to cause them to remain in Golis, so no one's going to be able to come back and take their possession, even if they would not have sold and would have remained alive. Let's see Rashi. Let's see if we can finish out a little bit of Rashi. Rashi, where it says, Yigimel ki amocha alamim ko lo yoshuv kishe yigle begoyle lo yoshuv yira od hasodeh shemochar v'loma yisabol. So Rashi here is saying, no, not like the Mitzudos. Don't add words into the pasuk that are not there. Don't pair the pasuk with invisible words. It does not say, the moicha means I sold. So what happens? He's saying something very interesting. You sold your house. Why? I'm in debt. So what do? Every day on the way home from work, you drive home your old house and you commiserate. Oh, look at my house. I had no choice. Why would a person do that to himself, to torture himself? People do, they go online. I do this all the time. Things that bother you very much. Yechazer, nochamol. Right, you go back and you look online. Why do you torture yourself? I don't know. It's some type of sickness, some type of... There must be some psychological reason why when you're upset about something, you just like, so you go home,
you
so
dwell on
you dwell on it. You're in denial, right? You're in denial, you're fantasy land. So here it says, you're not going to even have the opportunity to go back and look at the home that you sold, because you're not going to be living in Eretz Yisrael anymore. You're going to be in Golos. And guess what? Not today, not tomorrow. You're going to be in Golos until you die. Ki chazoin el kol hamoina, arehi is calling the Targum, arehi niviyaya misnabon, al kol is Is regushatoin, all of the exiles, lemesav bit yufta, I try to inspire them to do teshuvah, but they don't want to do teshuvah. They refuse to do teshuvah. The Navi said, I tried to convince them to be choyze b'shuvah, but not the ish b'avonoi chayoso, kol lecha mehem yachayoso v'navsho dvuka b'avonoi, lo yischazoku, lo yechziku, libam al yitzrom hara, lo shuv lissoy raschem. There is no person that wants to hold on, to take control. He's translating the pasuk very interestingly. Lo yischazaku means there's no man that wants to take control of his yetzer hara. It's very interesting. Again, the Mitzudos he translated lo yischazaku mean no one's going to take hold of their land. Okay, what does the meaning of here lo yischazaku? So far, we've learned three translations. I start off with the drush. The drush is when it's churbin, there is no cheskas chayim chazaku. Mitsuda says there's no one that's going to take possession of their land because you're not on the land anymore. So there's no one's going to be available to go and be machzik on their land and take possession of the physical real estate. According to Rashi, everyone is mired in sin and there's no one that's willing to take a moral stand. No one's willing to take hold, to grab the bull by its horns, to take the Yetzirah and say to the Yetzirah, Ad Khan. The book stops here. No more Averis. Okay, it's late. We'll stop here. We'll do Mirtz Hashem, the Radak. We're up to the Radak. We'll do that tomorrow. We'll take a short break. Then we're going to learn Tefillin. I want to go through some more ideas on Tefillin until about 11:15 when Rabbi Shmelka Pinter, Mirtz Hashem, will give us a shiur.